This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law.
I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. On this podcast, our focus turns to the rather timely topic of performance appraisals. With the holiday season approaching, those annual performance reviews at your company may not be far behind. So it's not too soon to look at these employee evaluations and whether they can be more effective. There's been a lot of talk about these reviews. Some see them as providing much-needed feedback, but others have openly questioned whether performance appraisals should be scrapped altogether. My colleague Marta Moakley covers performance appraisals for Expert HR, and she's given presentations on this increasingly hot-button issue. Prior to joining Expert HR, Marta worked as an equal opportunity specialist for the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights and as a Florida Assistant Attorney General. And I'm thrilled to have her with us to discuss the pros and cons of the performance review process. Marta, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'll start with this. What do you see as the biggest mistake when it comes to these annual performance appraisals?
I think that any company that is engaging in a practice that is basically a legacy practice, which may not make business sense or be aligned with current business goals simply because we've been doing it forever, I think that is really problematic in today's competitive, you know, business cycle. It's important for HR and other stakeholders to understand current internal processes and systems and evaluate them on whether they make sense for that particular business and the workplace and that culture. It's also important to understand how a particular internal process, whether it's performance management or other employee management processes, how that interrelates with other goals, processes, policies, such as career pathing or leadership development. We've seen a number of corporations continuing to engage in performance management in a manner that doesn't allow for innovation or this engagement with other processes. For example, I know a number of corporations have adopted a forced ranking system because it's been done for the last 30 years or so, and that's not a good enough reason right now. There's such excitement in this area for innovation, for experimentation. One that sees so many corporations questioning how and why they're doing what they're doing, I think it's important to really get back to these basics and why do we have these processes in place? I wanted to share with you, I was recently at a conference and one of the attendees asked me questions, really good, thoughtful questions about information sharing and supervisor training regarding performance reviews. And we discovered that the organization was engaging in performance appraisals in a particular way, not because that process made sense for them at that point in time, but simply because that's what their current tech systems allowed. And, you know, needless to say, HR has to be vocal about these issues and really, you know, speak to innovations that would help the business. These processes should make sense for the organization. Using another's process, a tech process, whatever it might be, may not yield defensible results for that particular business.
And what about consistency, Marta? Is there anything that an employer can do to ensure there's more of that among supervisors? Because I would guess that that's a problem in this area.
It is, and absolutely. Training is very important. Understanding the performance drivers for particular teams or jobs that supervisor is supervising, how those relate to overall business goals. There has to be a deep inculcation that supervisors are always on. They represent the organization. So it's important for them to achieve this consistency across teams, across sectors. And again, they need to be trained in a way that they don't rely on their opinion. They rely on observable, reliable facts. This can be instrumental in stamping out any potential bias, whether it's conscious or unconscious. For example, relying on facts would be something like avoiding a word like lazy. What does lazy mean? This is not a constructive way to communicate a performance review. However, if a supervisor really delves into the issue and cites specific examples of instances when the employee did not meet a particular productivity goal or missed a deadline or work reduced hours or otherwise did not meet the expectations, then that performance review is much more concrete, much more defensible, and an employee has a clear understanding of what is expected. this communications training is vital because it has to be a true conversation. A supervisor has to communicate employer goals and expectations, and an employee has to have the opportunity to respond as well. And it's important that this continues to be a conversation throughout the year and not just for that one time.
And throwing in a word like lazy, I would imagine, makes it more confrontational as well than it needs to be.
Absolutely. And then you may, instead of a constructive meeting, it can turn into something that is more conflict-oriented, and then that needs to be resolved.
Well, a Fortune magazine survey a couple of years back found that only 2% of HR people think yearly reviews provide anything useful. With numbers like that, is there a case to be made that companies should do away with these appraisals altogether? I mean, 2%, that's rather shocking.
2% is, well, here's why we need to get very specific. And the decision to engage in a particular method of assessing an employee's performance has to be particularized to an organization. Many factors have to be taken into consideration. For example, how do we encourage employee behaviors that reflect values and goals of this organization? How do we time these? What is the interrelationship with other processes, such as training and development, coaching, discipline? What method of appraisal are we going to use? How are we going to ensure that it's fair? While annual performance appraisals may not work for everyone, an employer must have some method to evaluate employee performance, because if you don't evaluate employee performance, then you're really missing out on a key component to motivation of employees, to talent retention, to career development, and all of these things affect the bottom line. So if it's only 2% of HR who believe that these reviews are providing anything useful, then we really have to look at, okay, how are you going about it, and what is a methodology that would yield meaningful results?
So with that said, Marta, is there any sort of trend away from conducting performance appraisals, or is that something that you anticipate taking place?
There is absolutely a trend to move away from the annual performance appraisal, which is really the traditional way of doing things. But the reality is that really we're not moving away from performance reviews as a concept. We're moving away from that annual burden, administrative burden. As an example, Adobe a couple of years ago moved from this outdated system, what they considered for themselves to be outdated, of annual performance reviews. And they moved to a much informal check-in system, which made more sense. It is a more informal and frequent process that allows employees to know where they stand. Accenture actually just moved to this as well in September. And I believe for some organizations, it is vital. If you're in a sales-driven organization, annual reviews may not work best because they may not be aligned with your business goals. Perhaps something on a quarterly basis, something scheduled around a sales cycle, then that makes more sense. You want employees to be performing when the business needs to perform. And again, the goal is to have a workable system of appraising performance so that this can inform other business decisions. But moving away from any kind of performance management or performance review, that will be problematic.
So we've talked about some of the negatives. So let's shift gears just a little and talk about what the business case argument is to be made for maintaining annual performance reviews.
The business case rests with a particular business. Each organization has to review its processes and eliminate redundancies and administrative headaches, and they have to focus on a streamlined, effective process that focuses on goals. These kinds of reviews are traditional because they work. They tend to be aligned with other business processes such as end-of-year promotions and bonuses. But again, you can move away from this model to a degree. Some corporations have opted for a range of complementary processes, such as informal information gathering, and then that leads to an annual comprehensive and formal review. But basically, this feedback needs to be maintained, and it needs to be retained in some manner to protect against potential liability risks, whether those are in the form of an internal employment claim or an external investigation.
And as you alluded earlier with the sales example, but I would imagine it would apply with other occupations as well, doing these on perhaps a quarterly or even monthly basis gives more feedback to the employees and in certain circumstances might be more effective.
Absolutely. And the reality is that every day your employees are getting feedback, whether it be from peers or from their clients or from superiors. This is great information. Let's get it together. Let's keep these records and use them to business advantage.
Well, speaking of records, fear of litigation is always something never too far from an HR professional's mind. So is one chief reason for conducting these appraisals to provide a paper trail for the company in case litigation should ever arise?
Oh, absolutely. Performance appraisals, if done well, they can really provide defenses against a host of claims. Very common ones are discrimination claims at the federal, state, or municipal level. Again, if you have good documentation that shows that this process was a fair one and was based on facts, reliable facts, then you short-circuit that discrimination claim. They are often cited in retaliation claims. We are seeing a rise in claims related to protected leaves, again, whether at the federal, such as FMLA, state, or municipal level. And then there's also the traditional state-based claims, such as defamation claims. If done right, this can really short-circuit litigation. If done wrong, then it can really be a litigation fuse that keeps that fire smoldering for years to come, potentially.
With that said, Marta, what are some important factors for employers to focus on to ensure that their review process is effective?
I think it's important, in order to be effective, that it's aligned with company goals, that it is a truthful process with integrity, and that it provides a consistent, structured method for providing feedback to employees. It's important to note that effectiveness does not rely on the frequency of the reviews. As we've spoken about, you can have a perfectly effective annual performance appraisal system. But it's important that they're truthful, that these fundamental concepts are really adhered to. And it's worth noting that what's effective for one organization may not be for another. Performance management really does go hand in hand with the culture of an organization, with its philosophy. If you're in a startup, your process may be somewhat different than a traditional organization, or again, an organization that has just gone through some kind of change, such as a restructuring. So it's important to know what is effective and what is good for each organization.
A question that arises a lot in this area involves when is the right time to raise a performance issue. So that leads to my next question, which is it ever acceptable for a manager to raise a performance problem for the first time during a formal performance review?
The short answer is yes, although continuous communication and performance management is preferred. Nobody's perfect, but it's not like a formal performance appraisal is an inappropriate time. And honestly, better late than never. Really choose a time to address an issue in a constructive manner. A formal performance review obviously lends itself to this kind of conversation. You don't want an employee to be taken aback, so you definitely, if this is the first time addressing something, it needs to be constructive. It needs to be in a way that is really trying to teach the employee and inform the employee about what is expected. But I think it really is an excellent venue if done well, if communicated well, if done privately, and in a way that shows respect for the employee and for the organization.
We only have a minute or two left. So, Marta, do you have any final piece of advice for employers with the performance review or PDP season fast approaching?
It's important to remember the basics. What are the goals of the process and what needs to be documented? And I think so long as the process is adhered to and it is documented, then employers will be in a good position. Supervisors really need to take the process one step at a time. And employers need to remember, if they are undertaking this process, it has to be reliable, it has to be conducted with integrity, and it has to be fair. Otherwise, you are opening yourself up to liability.
Okay, well, we'll let that be the last word. Again, my expert HR legal editor colleague, Marta Moakley, has been our guest. Marta, thanks so much for your insights.
Well, thank you so much, David.
I'm David Weisenfeld. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Continue checking our website for more programs on key employment topics affecting HR. Recent podcasts include Background Checks Abroad: What Global Employers Need to Know.
The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR, our subscription offering, or our new 50-state employee handbook resource, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847. Copyright 2015, all rights reserved.